right after the international news.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Voice of America.
The Voice of America is a proud broadcasting partner of the inaugural Basketball Africa League in Kigali, Rwanda. The new league features 12 of Africa's top professional clubs. Group play wraps up Monday evening at the Kigali Arena with a game between Zamalek of Egypt and GS Petroliers of Algeria. Zamalek is already through to the quarterfinals after an 86-62 win Sunday against AS Douanes of Senegal. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Zamalek guard Mohab Yasser Abdellatif, who at 18 years of age is the youngest player in the Basketball Africa League. He scored 14 points in 16 minutes on the court. In other results Sunday, Petro de Luanda of Angola defeated AS Salé of Morocco 97-78. Both teams have advanced to the quarterfinals. Petro de Luanda finished group play unbeaten with 3 wins, while Salé had 2 victories and 1 defeat. Taking a look at the box score, the British-Jamaican Ryan Richards led Petro in scoring with 19 points, and American Terrell Stoglin scored 25 points for Salé. And Sunday's third game in Kigali matched 2 police teams. FAP of Cameroon beat AS Police of Mali 87-65.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta and Mukbil Yabaro are co-anchoring the Voice of America's special English radio broadcasts of the inaugural Basketball Africa League in Kigali, Rwanda. Prince asked Mukbil for his thoughts on the game so far.
My thoughts on the matches are that it's been going extremely, extremely well, not only for the continent, but, you know, just everything in general that's been associated with the league so far. I'm loving the African talent that I'm seeing alongside the international talent as well. Yeah, it's been really exciting to call these games, you know, alongside you. You know how we're jumping in every quarter, half times and post games. It's really, really exciting basketball, high quality basketball as well. So, yeah, I think this tournament is just the beginning for Africa.
Any standout performances so far in terms of teams, in terms of individual players?
Man, there's a ton. I feel like Petro de Luanda is a team that's playing really well. The host nation, the Patriots, are one of the fan favorites, you know. The U.S. Monastir team, which is the Tunisian side, is also playing extremely well. Zamalek had a dominating first performance as well. Unfortunately for them, they had their second game canceled. As for the players, I would say, from the AS Salé side, Stoglin and Rashad are both playing really well. From the U.S. Montserrat side, Slimani, Maghreb, and Whale, RG Key, if I'm not mistaken. You know, I have to go with, you know, on the Patriots side, I have to say J. Cole, you know, just him being one of my, we gotta give a shout out to my man Cole, just off the simple fact that, you know, he just dropped a phenomenal body of work, you know, off season. And a lot of the stuff that he does doesn't necessarily show up on the box score, but he has a lot of intangibles. He's playing well. His team, from a collective standpoint, is playing excellent.
How has the experience broadcasting been like in this tournament so far?
Man, how could it not be super exciting? You know, high-class basketball, going back and forth with you the entire time. We've had the luxury of having amazing guests on, whether it be for halftime or post games as well. And yeah, all in all, the competition has been elite. We've had teams that, you know, may not perform amazing in their first games, and they come right back as if, you know, as if they didn't even miss a step, you know, like GNBC, for example. They lost by 47, I think, the first game, and they came right back and almost beat the undefeated Patriots, the hosting team. So yeah, it's been unreal, really. Like, and I just cannot wait till we get to the knockout phases, which will reminds me a bit about, you know, reminds me of March Madness, you know. So it's gonna be May Madness for sure.
Oh, I love the sound of that. May Madness, goodness me. You know, and talking about May Madness, in terms of the future, McBeal, what does the future of African basketball look like, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it's so bright. You know, it has endless opportunity. It has endless potential, really. You know, just with the NBA highlighting this one tournament, this being the inaugural one, I don't believe that this is going to be the only one. The NBA has already known about the challenge, the individual plays of African talent. You know, they've, you know, there's been so many African players to have played in college Division I's all over the nation and the NBA level. You know, we have Joel Embiid, this year MVP candidate, right? So they know about the talent that is on the continent, hence why they're starting this at the moment. But I think this will be something that'll take the African game to the next level, and maybe even entice other players from other parts of the world to come and want to play in a high class league. And it won't necessarily be, let's only go and play for the European leagues if we're unable to make it to the NBA. Why not come to Africa, you know?
Interesting. I love that analysis, McBeal. Always on top of your game when it comes to analysis. What do you think African players need to do in order to dominate world basketball?
And, you know, with African players, a lot of times they don't necessarily have the, you know, the facilities, you know, that some of these other players in other parts of the world might have. But with this help, I feel as though, you know, with the spotlight, a lot of different countries will take, you know, take the initiative to start setting up more facilities for young players to develop themselves. And I definitely see that there's endless possibility for the game in the continent. I'm super excited to even be a part of this inaugural tournament. Really, really, I'm excited.
I'm excited too, McBeal. McBeal Yarborough and Prince Nesta are co-anchoring the Voice of America's special English radio broadcasts of the inaugural Basketball Africa League in Kigali, Rwanda. One sportswoman watching the games at the Kigali Arena is Sarah Chan, manager of Africa Scouting for the 2019 NBA champion Toronto Raptors team. In an interview with Prince Nesta from Kigali, Sarah talked about her basketball journey, which began in South Sudan.
My name is Sarah Chan. I'm the manager of African Scouting for the Toronto Raptors. Played a little bit, coached a little bit, and here I am scouting.
Briefly, just a little bit about your background. Your history is important to our listeners.
So I'm from South Sudan. I grew up in Khartoum until I was about 12, and South Sudan was going through a civil war. It's a 21-year-old civil war that had affected everybody. And so my family and I relocated to Kenya, looking for greener pastures, looking for peace, putting education at the center of everything. I remember that's the one thing I don't even know when I never heard those emphases. Like, my parents always reiterated, we go, we learn, we come back, and we impact. That was the song in our daily lives. And so a background of civil war into being privileged to have an amazing family that's very supportive of a young girl that was trying something out, a dreamer, and a family that is, you know, right behind you, pushing you and encouraging you to, you know, pursue your your passion, your goals, and gave you perspective and grounded you in that it's not about you. It's about using your gifts to impact yourself, but to also impact those around you and to bring glory to God.
What inspired you, you know, to start your basketball career?
I started my basketball career in Kenya in high school. I was actually forced into it because I was one of the tallest kids around. And I followed rules and I said, okay, I don't know where this is going, but you know what? I'm going to stay healthy anyway. And this is how I started off and started falling in love with the game. And my coach was just so amazing. And I had incredible teammates. And so it just made it really fun to do. And it became my heaven, my safe haven. So started in Kenya, ended up getting scholarships out of it, played a pro for a little bit and came back home. And, you know, so I managed the African scouting for the Toronto Raptors.
What does it entail?
So scouting is basically, we're talent seekers, for lack of a better word, across Africa. And we have an amazing network of scouts from the Raptors. And so it is coordinating all of that and also scouting, like basically looking for, you know, the prospects, the NBA prospects, suggesting. And for me, you know, it's personal because I know what sports have done for me personally. So for me, it's anybody that I feel can have an opportunity at whatever level. And if I have contacts, I always connect, you know. If it's a kid and I'm like, I think this kid is, you know, it might not be going to an NCAA school, but can go to an NAIA or a JUCO. For me, it's beyond the game. It's the using it as a tool to empower the kids. You get an education out of it. The outcome doesn't have to be like Pascal Siakam's, but, you know, you go somewhere and you do something for yourself. So, yeah.
Are you in the stadium, you know, when the match between the Patriots against U.S. Monastir was taking place? Could you please tell us, for those of us who weren't in the stadium, what was the mood like? How was the match?
God, oh, my God. It is one of the most exciting games this far. The environment was just so electric. The energy was so high. And for a second there, I look around and I'm like, this is the NBA. This is like me sitting in Scotia Arena. And the level of the game that is going on that I'm watching, wow, the intensity. Like, I'm feeling it myself. I'm right there with this. It's crazy. The intensity of the game was amazing. They were running the floor, great shot selections. The ball movement was just incredible. And the leadership on the floor. The future is so bright for this tournament. And this game was such an exemplary game. For this, the entire week, I haven't watched a game like this one. You know, the team effort from both teams, the sportsmanship, the officiating of the game, they executed the plays with such, it was a beauty to watch how they executed the plays, how they were working with their teammates, how they were putting each other in positions that were, you know, getting their teammates great shots, the passes. Yo, it was just beautiful. It captivated me. And I said, this game was the best game so far.
Taking off of what you just say, this game was the best so far. Do you expect these two teams maybe to be in the finals of the tournament and maybe tying into that? What so far some of the standout teams in this tournament for you?
The standout teams in this tournament would be the one we just watched, the Tunisian team. Patriots have also showed a great deal. We've also watched Zamalek from Egypt. They've done so well. And so I'm predicting at least one or two of those will be in the final.
What does this tournament mean for the African continent? You were in the stadium. You were watching this particular match. The president of Rwanda actually attended the match, you know, with the first family.
It's progressive leadership that, you know, makes the world move around and advances tournaments like this. Because without him, the NBA, FIBA, we don't have the arena. Let's start there. So there's not, you know, the actual structure. And then you come down to the leadership within the NBA, the people that work behind the scenes to bring this tournament here and to make it a success and execute with such diligence. And then the opportunities this is going to have, the ripple effects of just what the BAL stands for, impacting the next generation of athletes. There were 15 NBA scouts and team representatives watching this tournament. And this gives us an opportunity to look at young prospects early and build a file. And this is more opportunity for the players. This is job creation for the people. This is economic, it's a socioeconomic benefit to all of Africa, right? And so the world will continue to reap the fruits of this tournament because it's also a pipeline to the NBA, right? And it's our prayer that it keeps growing and, you know, it already has the sustainability aspects of things. So it will keep growing. And we hope that it gets to the point where interchangeably athletes can go from the NBA to the BAL or from the BAL to the NBA, you know. So it is such a moment that makes you proud to be African. You look down and you see women leadership on the floor, the referees, the DJ Ivy from the Mavericks, right? You have Yolam, you have Usher, you have Michelle from BBC, and these are young women doing things, phenomenal sisters doing amazing things, right? And so the opportunities within this are limitless.
Absolutely, and I love the passion, you know, that you bring to it, because looks like this is something that is really touching your heart, you know. And what does basketball mean to you?
Man, basketball is life. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes the reason I wake up. It is my purpose. And it reminds me of the saying, the quote by Mandela, sports has the power to change the world. It has the power to inspire. It has the power to unite. And it has the power to create hope. And I look at this and this is hope. This is a platform, an elite platform for players to showcase what they have and for the world, you know, to basically enjoy the fruits of talent, because Africa is spoiled for choices. We have such an immense pool of talent, and now there's a platform where they can exhibit what they have. And so it's a gift to the world, and it's also a gift to us. So basketball is life. Basketball is peace. Basketball is opportunities. Basketball is unity, and the power of it to transcend boundaries. I call it home. You know, when you go home, yeah. That place, basketball is home.
Oh, my. Beautiful, fantastic stuff. And I like the way you say it, since the world hasn't seen anything yet. The world hasn't seen Sarah yet. Any surprises so far as the tournament is concerned?
The only surprise for me is the Nigeria team's performance. I expected a bit much more from them. You know, I've also, in the best way possible, not really surprised, but I'm glad that the Patriots from Rwanda, the host, are playing at a high and intense competitive way. It's they didn't come to play. Like, you know, it's not a game. They are taking this very serious. They're intentional. You can see that they have been working in the way that they've been playing. The chemistry of the team, you know, just the discipline of the players, everything is showing. And that's why they're playing how they're playing. And tonight's game would have gone either way. It was not for the turnovers that they had in the first half and, you know, not converting some of those breakaways, not making their free throw shots, which were very crucial for a game like this, you know. So, yeah. You know, other than the disappointments, there's also this beautiful surprises of this different team stepping up and leadership and experience just showing out tonight. you know?
Yeah. You also come from South Sudan. What does this tournament mean for South Sudan and Africa? You know, what should we take from this moving forward to the future?
Elevation and progress come from leadership, and we must hold each other accountable. We must take sports more serious and invest in the youth and continue to give accessibility and look at the opportunities within this. This is a nation that went through tragedy. Look at how they healed and, you know, how they made a comeback, you know, and how they're now bringing the world together. They're uniting all of us. It's incredible. It's an amazing time. And I hope people's eyes are open and their hearts are receptive to seeing what is being displayed and to wanting to duplicate a Kigali Arena in, you know, in South Sudan, a Kigali Arena, you know, like a Kigali Arena standard in Ghana, in you know, all the rest of the countries. It's my hope that, you know, the rest of Africa, you know, we have a 2 or 3 type of Kigali standard classic stadium in every country, in all 3 major, you know, major cities of different countries, that if we had that, can you imagine just what that presents in terms of, you know, job opportunities, in terms of accessibilities, in terms of elevating the game. So it's my hope that we all take a leaf from this and only get better from here.
That's Sarah Chan, manager of Africa Scouting for the 2019 NBA champion Toronto Raptors team. And Sarah spoke with Prince Nesta from Kigali, Rwanda.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamite basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
As I mentioned earlier, Egypt's Zamalek is already through to the quarterfinals of the Basketball Africa League in Rwanda. One official closely following the team is Mohamed Abdel Motelleb, the vice president of the Egyptian Basketball Federation. Iron Mike Mbonye asked him for his reaction to the BAL tournament in Kigali.
For me personally and for the Egyptian Basketball Federation in Egypt, that we are very excited to see the ball is taking place in Africa. This is happening in Africa. We look forward to see this affecting and reflecting on the basketball level in Africa, either on the clubs, level or the national teams level.
Zamalek Basketball Club is representing Egypt at the Basketball Africa League tournament. What's your assessment of their game?
Regarding Zamalek, I think they were not in their best case, in their best level in the first game. However, I believe they will do much better gradually. They have a very talented players and excellent coach. And I believe they will continue the developing and improving game by game. They didn't have enough time to merge and have chemistry with their foreigner players. However, in the coming games, I believe they will do much better.
How popular is basketball in Egypt? Do you think it will be as popular as football in future?
The basketball is the second most popular after football in Egypt. The NBA and the ball, I believe they will add a lot to the popularity and number of fans in Egypt and the continent. I think the following editions will see more followers and viewership. Maybe 5 to 10 years, this will be the best clubs championship in Africa, and I guess it will overpass the football championship. So let's wait and see, and best of luck to the NBA ball management and my friend Amadou Foul, and for all the teams, and especially for Zamalek Club from Egypt.
That's Mohamed Abdel Motelleb, the vice president of the Egyptian Basketball Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cairo, Egypt.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike. The National Basketball Association playoffs tipped off over the weekend here in the United States. Our VOA basketball fans will remember all of the series in the NBA playoffs are best of seven games. So the first team that wins four games advances. In the opening games of the playoffs, the Phoenix Suns, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Atlanta Hawks were among the winners. The Suns shine brightly in beating the defending NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's Dave Ferry tells us about the win by the Suns, as well as the victories by the 76ers and the Hawks.
The Suns were winners in their first playoff game in 11 years as Devin Booker delivered 34 points in a 99-90 decision over the Lakers.
We did well tonight, but, you know, it's one game. No matter how much we won by, no matter how we play, you know, game two is going to be a whole different opportunity. But, you know, it's obvious what those guys are capable of. And we just try to make it tough on him.
DeAndre Ayton had 21 points and 16 rebounds in his playoff debut. The Suns managed to win without much help from Chris Paul, who didn't look healthy after a right shoulder injury in the second quarter. LeBron James had team highs of 18 points and 10 assists for Los Angeles. No other Laker had more than 14 points. Game two is Tuesday in Phoenix. Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid led the 76ers to a Game 1 victory over the Wizards, 125-118. Harris scored 28 of his game-high 37 points in the first half, filling a scoring void with Embiid on the bench in early foul trouble.
I felt good. I think, you know, just being able to go out there and find a good balance of being aggressive and still doing whatever I can to make the right plays out there, winning plays.
Embiid finished with 30 points despite sitting out a huge portion of the first half. Ben Simmons shot poorly but contributed 15 assists and 15 rebounds.
It was pretty solid. You know, we haven't played in like 10 days, so fatigue set a little bit, but, you know, overall I think it was solid. I could do many things a lot better, though.
Bradley Beal had 33 points for the Wizards, who take on the Sixers in Philadelphia on Wednesday. The Hawks stole home court advantage from the Knicks with a 107-105 victory at Madison Square Garden. Trae Young made a runner in the lane with 0.9 seconds left.
For me, it was just try to find a way to get open, get the ball. John was going to come set a screen for me, and then he lost his shoe. And just kind of waved him off because I didn't want anything to get out there and get messy.
Young finished with 32 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds. Bogdan Bogdanovic added 18 points for the Hawks in their first postseason game since 2017. Alec Burks scored 27 points for the Knicks. Derrick Rose scored 17 points, but Julius Randle shot just 6 for 23 while finishing with 15 points and 12 rebounds. The Knicks host Game 2 on Wednesday. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. In the opening games of other NBA playoff series, the Brooklyn Nets beat the visiting Boston Celtics 104-93. The host Milwaukee Bucks edged the Miami Heat 109-107. The Memphis Grizzlies scored a 112-109 road victory against the Utah Jazz. The Portland Trailblazers also won on the road, defeating the Denver Nuggets 123-109. And the Dallas Mavericks were also victorious on the road, beating the Los Angeles Clippers 113-102. Finally, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to American golfer Phil Mickelson, who at 50 years, 11 months, and 7 days of age has become the oldest major champion in the sport's history. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
Phil Mickelson has made history at the PGA Championship, becoming the oldest player to ever win a major title with a two-shot victory over Brooks Koepka and Louis Oosthuizen.
I don't know how to describe the feeling of excitement and fulfillment and accomplishment to do something when you know, with this magnitude, when very few people thought that I could.
Mickelson survived a demanding and roller coaster day on the difficult Kiwa Island course with a final round 73 that was good enough in the end for a 6-under par total and the two-shot victory. It is his sixth major success and comes 8 years after his last. I'm Graham Agars.
And that wraps up the May 24th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.